I arrived at the prison in the mid-afternoon. On the drive, I had been listening to an old playlist made by JP. Have a great day. And without the music and the engine, the car was abruptly quiet. I opened the door. Traffic was building on the motorway, the noise of it like the ocean. The prison had released a short statement confirming Mother's death. I read the articles online the evening before, which were perfunctory and which all concluded with a variation of the same happy ending. The Gracie children, some of whom have waived their anonymity, are believed to be well. I sat in a towel on the hotel bed, surrounded by room service, laughing. At breakfast, there was a stack of local newspapers next to the coffee. Mother was on the front page, underneath an article about a stabbing at Wimpy Burger. A quiet day. My room included a hot buffet, and I kept eating right up until the end, when the waitress told me that the kitchen had to begin preparing for lunch. "People stop for lunch?" I asked. "You'd be surprised," she said. She looked apologetic. "It isn't included with the room, though." "That's okay," I said. "Thanks, that was really good." When I started work, my mentor, Julia Devlin, told me that the time would come when I would tire of free food and free alcohol, when my fascination with platters of immaculate canapés would wane, when I would no longer set my alarm to get a hotel breakfast. Devlin was right about a lot of things, but not about this. I had never been to the prison before. It wasn't so different from what I had imagined. Beyond the car park were white walls crowned with barbed wire, like a challenge from a fairy tale. Behind that, four towers presided over a concrete moat, with a grey fort at its centre. Mother's little life. I'd parked too far away and had to walk across a sea of empty spaces, following the thick white lines where I could. There was only one other vehicle in the car park, and inside it there was an old woman clutching the wheel. When she saw me, she raised her hand as if we might know each other, and I waved back. Underfoot, the tarmac was starting to stick. By the time I reached the entrance, I could feel sweat in my bra and in the hair at the back of my neck. My summer clothes were in a wardrobe in New York. I had remembered English summers as timid, and every time I stepped outside, I was surprised by bold blue sky. I had spent some time that morning thinking about what to wear, stuck half-dressed in the wardrobe mirror. There really wasn't an outfit for every occasion after all. I had settled on white shirt, loose jeans, shop-clean trainers, obnoxious sunglasses. "Is it too jovial?" I asked Olivia, sending a picture by text. But she was in Italy at a wedding on the walls of Volterra, and she didn't reply. There was a receptionist, just like in any other office. "Do you have an appointment?" she asked. "Yes," I said. "With the warden."
"With the director?"
"Sure, with the director."
"Are you Alexandra?"
"That's me." The warden had agreed to meet me in the entrance hall.
"There's a reduced staff on Saturday afternoons," she had said. "And no visitors after 3 p.m. It should be quiet for you."
"I'd like that," I said. "Thanks."
"I shouldn't say this," she said, "but it would be the time for the great escape."
Now she came down the corridor, filling it. I had read about her online. She was the first female warden of a high security facility in the country, and she had given a few interviews after her appointment. She'd wanted to be a police officer at a time when height restrictions were still in force, and she was 2 inches under. She had discovered that she was still tall enough to be a prison officer, which was illogical, but okay with her. She wore an electric blue suit. I recognised it from the pictures accompanying the interviews, and strange, dainty shoes as if somebody had told her they might soften her impression. She believed absolutely in the power of rehabilitation. She looked more tired than in her photographs.
"Alexandra," she said, and shook my hand. "I'm so sorry for your loss."
"I'm not," I said, "so don't worry about it." She gestured back to where she had come.
"I'm just by the visitor's centre," she said. "Please."
The corridor was a tepid yellow, scuffed at the baseboards and decorated with shriveled posters about pregnancy and meditation. At the end, there was a scanner and a conveyor belt for your belongings.